Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Prayer. Are Americans downplaying the power of prayer? Have we forgotten the impact prayer has had on events throughout history? Didn't Jesus encourage us to pray? I believe we all agree America needs prayer, but do we really take it seriously? Do we pray daily for our nation? Franklin Graham is not just saying we need to pray for America, but he's putting feet to his words, and fellow Pennsylvanians are heeding his call. My guest today is Matt Stackmas, an activist from Blair County. Thanks, Matt, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Franklin Graham has called for a prayer saying, quote, our only hope is in God, unquote. Do you agree with that statement?
Amen. It's always been and always will be our only hope.
Yeah, and I think our founding fathers realized that, for sure.
I think that's why we have the motto we have is in God we trust.
Absolutely. But, you know, we've been encouraged to vote and participate in the public square. So doesn't just voting for the right candidate work? Won't that in itself save America?
I believe that, I guess the short answer is no, but I believe that being said, we'd all have a responsibility because God does work through the church, the family, and government, and where a Christian is a citizen of heaven, but while we're here, you know, we're citizens of whatever country that God has placed us. And I think part of being a responsible citizen in the United States is voting. And I believe that God can use, obviously, government as, either as a source of judgment or a source of reprieve for his people.
Right. Totally agree with that. And I know Franklin Graham also notes that it should be of great concern to all Christians that pro-life leaders are labeling former Vice President Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris as, quote, the most pro-abortion presidential ticket in the history of our nation, unquote. That should be concerning to all Americans. But I see the church as a whole getting away from biblical teachings in too many cases, and I think that in itself has undermined the foundation of the nation because the church is lacking in biblical discernment.
I think it's courage is really what it comes down to, be candid with you. And, you know, I have these conversations many times with different people, and I was talking to them with my brother here last week. Folks were getting ready to do a benefit for a local ministry, men's ministry, and making apple dumplings. And, of course, they were lamenting over the situation, the way things are in this country, and how far we've fallen from, you know, where we've been, you know, because we've basically turned our back on God. And my brother's like, well, here's something tangible you guys can do. You know, there's this march, this prayer march. You know, why don't you guys go on that? And he said you could just hear the crickets, you know. So people to talk about doing things or how bad things are, and that they. But when it comes to actually doing something tangible to make a change, too many people just want to sit on the sidelines and complain rather than actually get on the field.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that. It's, you know, it's words are cheap. It's the actions that show the true intent of the heart is the way I view it.
Ben Franklin said, well done is better than well said, right?
So. Yep, that's true. Overall, why do you see it so important that Franklin Graham had this prayer march the end of this month? Why is it so important that we all get together and pray?
Well, the timing is important. Obviously, you know, we have the election coming in November, but don't forget, last week we just had the memory of 9/11, you know, coming back to all of us, what happened there. And I believe that was a time of judgment. It was a time, it was a wake-up call for America. So basically, what I got out of that, you know, one of the major concepts I got out of that attack was where we put our faith. And I think the reason why those targets were picked under, you know, the sovereignty of God is, you know, we put our faith in our economy, our money, our
government,
material things, you know, that, and that was sort of exemplified with the world, you know, the World Trade Centers there, and where else do we put our faith? In our government, and that's, of course, in Washington, and probably was the target of one of those planes that went down here in Shanksville. And then where else do we put our confidence? In our military. Mm-hmm. But our motto says, in God we trust. And I guess my question to Christians is, where do you put your faith? Or where are we really placing our faith? Is it in ourselves? Is it in our economy? Is it on you know, our military might? Is it in our government? Or is it in God?
That's an excellent point. Because I believe too many Americans have, too many American Christians, the ones who claim the name of Christ, have become complacent and do put their trust and their faith in other entities besides God. They look to the government for help. They look to their checkbook to get them through. And yeah, and our military to protect us from the bad guys out there. Yeah, I totally agree. I think we as Christians need to reevaluate where we stand. Is our faith in God or is our faith in something else besides God? Which
Who would have thought that there would be so many people in our country willing to embrace socialism now?
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I talk to friends and people we know, and this concept of, you know, the government caring for you from cradle to grave. But I guess the question is, well, who cares for you after the grave? You know,
yeah.
So everybody wants someone else to be responsible for them. But if the government has all the resources, they tend to make a lot of the rules. And then basically what happens is liberty suffers.
Yeah.
Interestingly, God has kind of put in our path some friends that have come here from Venezuela, and they were basically, you know, forced to leave, seek political asylum here. And the man's name's Jose, and I talked with Jose. He's a very intelligent man. I said, How did this happen in your land? How did the people go from Venezuela being one of the most prosperous nations in South America with all kinds of natural resources? Which, by the way, they still have those resources.
Right.
They just don't have the ability to use them properly. To being a country that is basically, you know, now they have mass migration away from the country.
Mm-hmm.
People are literally starving, you know, even though they have those resources of petroleum products. They have to buy gas now from Iran because they can't even make, you know, enough gas for their own people. And he said, you know, it started with the government giving people, trying to, you know, for in the source of trying to be more equitable, just sending people money for basically doing nothing. You know, over time, the people just lost their ability to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the poor, at least they knew how to grow their own food and so forth. And you know, that's sort of what's going on in our land now. I think the, you know, government sending people checks to just basically sit at home and do nothing, and now things are starting to normalize a little bit more, and I know I talked to a lot of people. I know how it is in your part of the world, but there's help wanted signs everywhere, and I talked to business owners, and they can't find people to work because they make more, you know, a lot of people are making more money just sitting at home doing nothing.
Right. Oh, yeah. In fact, I just made note of that yesterday, especially the fast food places like McDonald's and Burger King, et cetera, help wanted signs, I think, every single one in this area. In addition to other, you know, other help wanted signs. But yeah, there are a lot of help wanted signs, and especially with this COVID so-called relief that was giving unemployed individuals $600 extra per week. That was definitely a disincentive to go back to work when the businesses were allowed to open. So yeah, we've become too many have become dependent upon the government, and they become lazy and they just expect that monthly check. Not that, you know, in some cases it's warranted, but in some cases it's not warranted. And that's
right.
The very troublesome
and
aspect.
The things
of it
that are going on now with the plague, with this virus, the racial tensions, the economic, you know, ramifications, you know, going from a very strong economy to one of the worst we've had, you know, sort of a man-driven, you know, collapse of the economy because of the virus. But there's certainly plenty of reasons, you know, to pray for our nation.
Absolutely. In fact, one of Franklin Graham's tweets was, quote, "Our country is in trouble like we haven't seen before in our lifetime. We have no hope. Outside of God, we will not make it unless God's people call on his name for help," unquote. So that brings
Amen.
Us up to the Prayer March 2020. He's saying, join me in Washington, D.C. for Prayer March 2020 on September 26th at noon. So you are actually planning on getting some folks to go down to Washington on that day. Give
That's
us some
correct.
Details about that.
We have chartered a bus. Our church has chartered a bus, and we are going to go down to participate in that event on Saturday the 26th.
Okay. Yeah, and they believe it's from the Lincoln Memorial to the end of the Capitol?
That's correct. Yep, it's about a two-mile course. There'll be seven different venues for prayer. At the Lincoln Memorial, the focus will be humbling ourselves, repentance, and healing. At the World War II Memorial, there'll be a prayer focus for the military and police and law enforcement in general, and for their families and for the peace of our nation. At the Washington Monument, we'll be praying for communities and families to end abortion and salvation of lost souls. We'll be looking towards the White House there, praying for the president and vice president and other leadership in our country. We'll be praying at the fifth stop will be the National Museum of African American History and Culture, and the prayer focus there will be for national reconciliation. The sixth stop will be the National Archives. We'll be praying for religious freedom for churches and pastors. And then finally, the last stop, the seventh stop, will be at the U.S. Capitol, praying for Congress and other leaders at all levels of America, Supreme Court, and our justice system.
Well, that pretty much hits every hot spot. I'll put it like that, hot spot or situations, issues that need to be prayed for. I've read recently that the, and I knew this, but the weakening of the family is really the underlying issue, all, and of course, the weakening of the church also. I think that plays a part in that. That definitely is the underlying issue as far as the weakness of American Christians, America in general. But the weakening of the family also has played an impact in so many of these issues that have infiltrated, impacted the country. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's something that we as a family have taken seriously. We've gone to Washington to defend the sanctity of marriage multiple times before the Supreme Court there, different rallies and so forth. I still to this day, I'm just bewildered why it was so difficult to get other Christian people involved in the defense of the sanctity of marriage. Mm-hmm. When that is, you know, basically the marriage and the family and bringing up children, you know, and the fear and admonition of the Lord, is that's the bedrock of our society.
Right. Right.
And it was so hard to get, so many people are afraid to stand up against what the media is portraying us as haters.
Right. Yeah.
When it's really loving people, right, to tell
exactly.
them the truth. And the other part of that is that if we can't defend something as basic as the family, you know, that's exactly why we're in the situation we are, where not only can't we defend the family and human sexuality as God sees it, but now we can't even talk about, you know, a girl being a girl and a boy mm-hmm. being a boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten, and why? Because basically we've, Christians sat on our hands or expected someone else to do something, or it's fear.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I know.
Believe me,
I understand exactly what you're saying. And I think a lot of it is fear. The media has done a good job in painting people that they don't agree with. They don't agree with someone's message. They've done a good job of portraying that person as a hater. You know, then we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has labeled pro-family groups as hate groups and such as that. So, yeah, there's been an orchestrated effort to silence those with a pro-Christian, pro-God message, and it has reverberated throughout the nation. The message is there. If the media doesn't agree with you, or if the left doesn't agree with you, then you will be demonized. Of course, now we're in the cancel culture. You know, they're going to cancel you out if they don't agree with you with your message, and we've seen that even through the COVID thing. Very disturbing.
And I think a lot of it, too, goes back to the leadership in the church, where the pastorate is just failing miserably to do anything of tangible worth as far as these, they consider them social issues when they're really moral issues,
yeah,
you know, or,
true.
They're, or political issues. And I hate to be so candid, but I think a lot of it comes down to they're afraid that they're going to offend people, and that's going to affect their offering plates, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's
probably going to offend some people
that
listen to you, but I believe it's the truth. I've been doing this long enough, you know, getting involved in the pro-life movement and the sanctity of marriage movement and defending, you know, we got involved in that thing with Johnstown and just basically defending access to the public restrooms and stuff so, you know, kids could go to the restroom without the risk of having someone of the opposite sex in there, you know, not at least make them feel uncomfortable. At worst, who knows, you know.
Right. Exactly.
I don't need to paint a picture, I guess, what could potentially happen.
Yeah. And there have been enough examples of that, too, as far as that goes, of those assaults have taken place. But, yeah, I believe that the pastors have dropped the ball They're afraid of losing their 501c3 status, and they're afraid of losing money out of the offering plate. I totally agree with that.
We've had, of all these events we've done, and there's been a number of them now, going to Washington and New York City and Harrisburg, it's very rare that we ever have a pastor go with us.
Mm.
In fact, I can think of only maybe once that we've had a pastor join us.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
And
that's
those...
one pastor and the whole bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I think I know which pastor you're talking about. But he's a good guy. But yeah, we have got to wake up as a nation. We've got to wake up as Christians to do our part in bringing this country back and sparking a revival, which it's not impossible. We see so many, like crowding in upon us. There's so many issues, so many things. We have the coronavirus, we have the election coming up, we have rioting in the streets, we have looting and all this kind of stuff as if everything's crashing down on us. But we have to remember as Christians that God is still in control and that he expects us to do our part in participating in the public square and in praying for the nation and in being a witness to his saving grace. And, you know, there's so many out there saying, well, God is love, which God is absolutely love.
Absolutely.
But we are expected to speak the truth. We're expected to share the gospel. And yes, God is love, but God also expects us to turn away from our wicked ways. So you're planning on a bus trip from Altoona.
Correct.
And,
yep.
Give us the details. When you're leaving? When you're going to be going to?
We'll be leaving at next Saturday. It's the 26th at 7 a.m. And we'll be leaving from Faith Baptist Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And for those that are interested in going, there is a charge. We're not charging more than actually less than the breaking even point for the bus. But we are asking for $40 per person just to pay for the bus. We ask that you bring a bagged lunch, and we will be stopping for dinner on the way back at some restaurant. So we do ask that you bring the funds for dinner as well. There will be walking involved, so it's about a 2-mile walk from the Lincoln Memorial to the Capitol. Now, there will be places that we stop and we pray, but, you know, there's going to be some walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then this event is all about prayer.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be loudspeakers or important people giving addresses or and so forth. The topics I talked about will be the ones that we'll be praying about there, those seven different things for prayer. We do ask that nobody wear any particular type of, any political type of paraphernalia or, no hats, no shirts supporting any political parties or people in politics.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about supporting either political party. This isn't about so much trying to get whoever we want in the White House. This is about, you know, prayer for our nation and seeking the Lord's mercy, you know, in a time when we desperately need him.
Crying out to God for mercy. I mean, that's what we have to do.
Amen.
Absolutely. You also plan on going to the an event that follows this?
Right. It's called The Return. It's sponsored by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who's a Messianic Jew. And so we might be walking back from the Capitol all the way to the Memorial or the Lincoln Memorial or the Washington Monument. They haven't released the venue for this. They just said it's on the Mall.
Okay.
And my suspicion is they don't want to release it too early in case there'll be potential counter-protesters there. So
yeah.
I think people that are interested in going should be prepared to be able to walk at least 4 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my questions, whether there was any fear of a counter-protesters, rioters, because Washington, D.C. is still a hubbub of unrest. Any fear of that?
Every time we do something like this, when we've gone to the Capitol, to Washington, to the Supreme Court to defend the sanctity of marriage, there's always going to be people with that have a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can be vocal, sometimes they can potentially be violent.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I've not experienced violence. I've certainly have had people, you know, be irate and so forth. But
yeah.
I was just having a conversation with a young pastor today about that, and I said, you know, those are just opportunities to witness to these people that don't share a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you, Diane, at least on the when the marriage front, When we went to the Supreme Court several times there to defend that, every single person that we spoke with and we actually had legitimate conversations with that were on the opposing side for the marriage issue, you know, accepting gay marriage, none of those conversations talked about marriage. They all talked about the existence of God.
Wow.
Because every single one of those people that opposed biblical marriage identified themselves as either an atheist or an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So it really just allowed us to use, you know, what the God has put in our apologetics toolboxes to, you know, share our faith, to share the Christian worldview, to share the truth of God.
Right.
Last year, you know, we went to New York City, which is sort of like the mecca of the abortion industry,
mm-hmm.
for an event sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Alive from New York. And so they were hoping to get 10,000 people there. We chartered a bus. It was a little disappointing that we were only able to get about half the people that, you know, we only had the bus a little half full.
Mm.
And then when we get there, you know, they had trouble with their sound system. You know, 100,000 people gather there to watch the ball drop for New Year's on Times Square, you know. But they broke us up, a group that was supposed to be 10,000 people, into three separate venues and sort of corralled us into three different places. They didn't allow us access to stadium seating. All the providers of the Jumbotron screens backed out on Focus on the Family, which means they had to bring their own screens in.
Mm-hmm.
There were counter-protesters, and they could not thwart that event.
Mm.
There were people carrying signs that saying, you know, I won't say everything they said, but one of the more common themes was abortion is normal.
Yeah.
And when they could not stop the event, they planted a bomb. And I don't know that that made any news.
Yeah, I don't remember that
But
part.
The police came and forced us out of the area for a bomb threat. Of course, it was a hoax.
Right.
Now, that being said, you know, every time that I go on a missions trip or I go to one of these events, I'll be very candid with you. I do have some fear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do believe God is sovereign.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I do trust him.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, we cannot live our lives fearing what might happen when we know what will happen if we don't do anything.
Yeah.
So,
excellent point.
I'd rather live, you know, knowing that I tried to do what was right,
mm-hmm.
with the risk of, you know, potentially something happened. Because my security is not in the things of this world. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, so. And more Christians need to have that attitude. They need to be willing to step out of their comfort zones and be willing to take a stand for truth, because truth is so very much, the definition's been redefined, and, you know, basically, you know, truth is whatever we call it is, blah, 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 which that's not true. Truth is not how each individual defines it. Truth is how God, what God says, that is truth. So if folks want to go, they have to be able to walk between 2 and 4 miles, bring a sack lunch, and money for supper to stop at a restaurant. There's also $40 per person to pay for the bus. I'll pay for the bus. And you'll be leaving at 7 o'clock from Faith Baptist Church in Altoona?
Correct, yep.
7 a.m.
And the number they can call is the church office to get on the official registry, and that's 814-944-2894, 814-944-2894.
Okay, fantastic. And I do encourage our listeners, especially if you live in the Altoona area, to strongly consider going to this event on the 26th, September 26th. The bus is leaving Faith Baptist Church in Altoona at 7 a.m. And you can call them at 814-944-2894 to register to go and such as that. So thanks, Matt, because I think you were the organizing force behind this, or the major organizing force behind this.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the venue to get the word out. And if I might just add something briefly about the thing, I don't want people to think that doing these things is for naught either. I mean, the Lord hears our prayers.
Yes.
That event that went, when we went to New York, I mean, it's easy to get discouraged, you know, when you can't even fill a bus.
Mm-hmm.
But they expected 10,000 people there. We got over 20,000 people to show up.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing I'll say, Diane, you know, all these things that we've been part of to defend, you know, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the truth of God, when you go and you actually rub shoulders with the church, it's the same group of people that you see in Washington, Harrisburg, New York City. They're blacks, they're whites, they're Hispanics, they're Indians, they're Chinese. It's not just like what we think of as just, you know, evangelical America. And mm-hmm. that was one of the most beautiful things, to see people of all different, you know, different types of ethnic yeah. or racial backgrounds, mm-hmm. all to support life. It was the biggest pro-life event in the history of New York City.
Wow.
And like I said, that is the mecca, that is the mm-hmm. the heart of the beast for the abortion industry in the United States,
yeah.
where
yeah.
there's more abortions than live births in that city. So,
absolutely.
So God be the glory. But and there was people in those double-decker buses and just coming, just not yelling against us, but supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the tide is turning on the issue of life. I think a lot of people see the reality that life is sacred
yeah.
from the time of conception.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because so many young people are pro-life. Absolutely. I mean, that's very clear. We can't forget that. We can't forget the good stories. We hear so many negative things. We can't forget the positive things that have come from these marches, these events. Mm. We cannot forget that, because Satan would love for us to be so discouraged. We either go, well, what's the point? You know, it's a waste of my time, blah, blah, blah. But we cannot forget the positive. We cannot forget that God is still in control.
And you know, too, Diana, that thing that happened in Johnstown,
mm-hmm.
We got wind of that, was about 3 years ago. Just a small group of people
yeah.
who trusted God and were willing to do something thwarted that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So too many times, people think that they can't do something, or the powers to be are too great.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the only time we can't afford to fail is the last time we try. And I heard one pastor say, you know, God plus one is a majority. So
yep.
if God's on our side, really, who can be against us?
That's
right?
That is absolutely correct. So I think every Christian should go back. Also, it should go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen.
We can't forget that. And we can't forget the power of prayer. Thanks so much, Matt, for giving us information on this. And I do encourage our listeners to strongly consider attending this march on September 26th in Washington, D.C., and to contact Faith Baptist Church in Altoona. They have a bus that's going, 814-944-2894. And thanks again, Matt, for being with us.
God bless you. Thank you, Diane, for what you do.
God bless you, too. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.